On today's episode, we discuss Animal Crossing New Horizons, along with the future of Nintendo Switch. Only on The 1UP Crew. Welcome to 1UP Crew, the podcast that gives gaming an extra life. I'm your host, Cliff, and welcome to this week's episode. There's a great show planned for you guys. We'll go over news, talk over Animal Crossing New Horizons, and discuss the Switch's future. But first, let's introduce the rest of the 1UP Crew. Introducing my fellow co-host.
Hey guys, what's going on? It's Kotetsu.
And unfortunately, we don't have Adam with us. He will be in the episode, guys. Don't worry.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
Actually, speaking about that, that actually brings to a great point. I kind of want to start off with talking about just some like minor updates. For those who are wondering why there hasn't been an episode in a while, we took a little hiatus. For starters, we are now on Apple Podcasts, so
yep,
if you have
yep.
an Apple device, you can now listen to us on that. And that's mainly the reason why we were on hiatus, is because I was trying to sort out something with Anchor between Apple, and it was a big convoluted process.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, we got that fixed, and now we're back. And then the second thing I would like to address is that for everyone who's been watching episode one, in that episode, in the beginning, I stated that there will be two versions of the podcast. An audio version, and then also a YouTube version. And after some thinking, me and Kotetsu kind of decided that it would probably be better if what we did is take some of the best parts of each episode and highlight them for our YouTube audience. And I feel like that would be a better thing to do than posting all the segments to YouTube. So, yeah. And
yeah,
with that being said, we could start off with the first segment, which is what are we playing? Which man,
did you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
No, I'll go first. I'll go first. I mean, man, this was the best week to pick a episode title. Okay, so I've been playing this little. Well, you know what? Actually, guys, I have a big announcement to actually make. You see, I have a problem. I have an addiction, and I'm trying to deal with it. It's called Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, and I've been playing it for God. Like, I don't even know what got me in this game. I really don't know. It's a crazy thing where when the game first came out a few years ago, I tested it out. I played it for like a few, like, you know, 2 weeks, and I was like, you know what, it's all right, but it's not really Animal Crossing. And then I just stopped playing it. But for some reason, because like we're currently like 5 weeks, I believe, to Animal Crossing New Horizons, I just been playing Pocket Camp like the past 2 weeks. Like, and to even make it even crazier, I've actually spent money in the game, which is funny because I never spend money on mobile games, but that's the game I swear, like, it hypnotizes you. Like, you want to, basically in the game, one of the two things that you do in the game is you befriend your villagers, and then also there's like achievements that you can do every single week. Along with special events that happen in game. So basically, I try to complete my objectives every time I play. And sometimes you need these things called leaf tickets. And sometimes
I remember that.
The game doesn't give you enough, and you're like, okay, you know what? Let me just I'll just buy like $8 worth just to get it done. I had a situation where, like, just the other day, one of my villagers, they wanted me to build something, because basically how it works is when you befriend villagers, like, they level up, and at certain points, like, their level gets locked unless you do specific things, and I needed to build this specific thing for my campsite, and it was gonna take 50, it was gonna take 56 hours to craft, and I'm like, you know what, like, I really, like, and like, I'm like, I really need these levels, because basically, after you like level up your villagers, like you
right.
like you as a character, like, level up yourself, and you get more leaf tickets, you get new villagers who will come and visit you, And you also have more things that you can craft, because like crafting is a big part of the game, which is kind of implemented now in New Horizons. But besides that, basically it had this thing where it wanted me to take, it was going to take 56 hours to craft. And I really wanted to level up my character. I'm like, you know what? Okay. You know what? Game, you got me. You won. Like, it was so like, they had like 200 leaf tickets for $8. I'm like, okay. Okay, I have sinned. I have sinned to the gamer gods. The gamer gods. I'm sorry.
But it's understandable, because like, what? There's the same concept in Jagalia Lost, where like, if you want to level up your castle so you can, you know, build better weapons and stuff, you have to level up. Or if you want to level up your armory or your blacksmith to build better, you know, weapons and stuff, you have to level up your castle. And the only way you can level up your castle if you level up your, you know, these any little miscellaneous, like, you know, gold mines or statues. And sometimes those take like, what, 2 hours or something like that. And you're like, dude, I don't have time to wait. It's 2 hours, is nothing. Some of them are like 5 hours, but you're like, dude, I don't have time to wait for this long. I'm just gonna straight up spin.
And here's the crazy thing, Katessa, is that wasn't even like the full amount of time, because basically I decided to sign up for this trial thing called, basically, like, a few months ago, like last year, they had an update, and where basically now they have a subscription service. Just one, they have two. They have, it's basically called the Animal Crossing Pocket Camp Club, and there's two. There's one that basically gives you a caretaker, and basically what you can do is you can assign a villager as a caretaker, and what they'll do is when you're not playing the game, they'll complete objectives for you. They'll help out with villagers, and then they'll also like get bugs and fish for you.
That's cool. Oh, okay.
And it's like $2 a month for that.
That's not bad.
And then the other one is more. The other one is that they have $7 a month, and that's basically where it's like called the cookie and depot plan, where basically there's different fortune cookies for like different events. So, like, for example, like there'll be like a snow time event where you get like snow furniture, or there'll be a Valentine's set where you get like Valentine's furniture. And basically how it works is, you know, you'll buy that, and you know, you'll get like a random furniture or clothing item in that set. And basically what the plan does, it's $8 a month, like I said earlier. And you're able to get 5 cookies a month with that plan. Now, I mean, I don't personally like use for the cookies, because I just don't see it as useful. Right. Also, the fact that, you know, if you were to buy it separately, like without this plan, like each of the special fortune cookies in the game is like 200 leaf tickets just for one.
Oh my gosh!
Earlier, I paid $8 for 200 leaf. Like just for other purposes, not even just not for that, like just to do other things. And I'm like, no, I'm not gonna pay $8 just for one single piece of furniture or clothes. Like, I'm not, like, there's a limit, and that's my limit.
You know what, when I can't live by that, because there's times where I'm just like for example, like when I was heavily into Fire Emblem Heroes for, you know, mobile, there was one character I wanted. It was a new variation. Or actually, no, I'll say when the game first came out, I dropped, how much, hold on. I gotta go to the game, look at the denomination, how much I dropped for like however many orbs. I dropped $74. So I can get 143 orbs, so I can build the pull Ryoma and Takumi. So I can't live by that decree. I have to spend the limit. And then there was another time where I was like, oh, dude, there's a new variation of Krom. I have to get him. He wasn't like a legendary warrior, and he was just like a normal 5-star that they just released. I'm like, oh, dude, I should be able to get it. And if you guys play Fire Emblem Heroes, like, to summon, it's so easy to summon in this game. Like, how they set it up, it's really easy. I don't know if you've played it before, Cliff, but They say you have like you'll have 20 orbs will net you a full summon round, right? So how they do it is when you hit summon and it costs 5 orbs to summon, right? But then you'll get 5 orbs. You'll get depending on how many they have. Like usually it's like the weapons triangle. It's red for sword, blue for spear, green for axe, and the colorless can be like, you know, arrows. But you know, there's other units within that. You can have like a tome user. There's usually tome users in any of those colors. But when you summon, they give you 5 to choose from. So you can say, oh, you know, I'm going for a red unit. I'm hoping a red orb will pop up, and a red orb will pop up. Sometimes three red orbs will pop up, or 4, or all 5 of them will be red. So it's so easy to say, I'm going to go again until you get it. And I was like, dude, this crumb is... Yeah, and like this was just a normal crumb. It wasn't like it was a 5-star crumb, but it was like a regular unit. And for the life of me, I could not pull them. And I felt so defeated. And I looked at my wallet. I'm like, geez, I spent like $100 just to get this crumb, and I didn't get him.
Yeah, I mainly have this alignment because I know, like, I'm like, New Horizons is like coming out in only a few weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna be spending a lot of money before this game comes out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you know? Want that.
Also, I was gonna say about the first plan I mentioned. That's $2 a month. The other thing that you get besides having a villager that will do stuff for you is you have a reduction in the time it takes to craft things. So basically, for that thing I talked about earlier that was going to take 50 hours,
yeah,
it was going to originally take 70 hours.
Oh my gosh.
But it cut down to 50 because I had that plan.
Down to 20 hours.
Yeah. It's like there's sometimes where... Like I'll like try to grind to like level up manually, but there's just sometimes where like if it's like a certain event, like for example, like there's an event going on right now that's actually going to end today.
Yeah.
Where it's like a flower event where you grow these special flowers, and then basically whenever they grow, like special creatures and bugs will like be around them, and basically like. The more creatures you collect, the more things that you'll get for like certain achievements. And I was like looking at my list of things and like I really need to do this, but I can't wait for my flowers to grow because it takes like I think 2 hours for your flowers to grow. And they give you you occasionally get flower food, which you can use to grow your flowers faster. But the thing about there's two methods. There's a way to do it with leaf tickets, and then there's a way to just do it with the flower food. And if you do it with the flower food, it will take 6 flower food just to grow 1 flower.
Wow.
And then if you do a leaf ticket, it's like 3 leaf tickets for 1 flower. So it's a weird thing, but there's like certain moments where I just got leaf tickets because they had bundles where you'll get flower food for getting the leaf ticket. I'm like, you know what, just for the flower food, I'll get it. It's like pretty hard to get it, and like, you know, like I want to complete my objective before it ends, and like,
right,
you know, okay, I'll do it. No, I'll do it. No, like, yeah. Like you've got me. You won, game. You won.
No, I completely understand. I mean, I feel exactly what you're talking about. I get it. I 100% get it.
But yeah, that's basically been me. I haven't played any more of Fire Emblem. I mean, not Fire Emblem. Shin Megami Tensei, which is a good game. I have to play more of it. I definitely want to play more of it. I just have Animal Crossing on the brain, which I will we will definitely talk more about this at a later time in the podcast, but I wanted to know, what have you been playing, Kadetsu?
Man, like honestly, I've been, let's just say, after I did that live stream for Persona 5 Scrambled, the demo, I've been playing Persona 5 this entire weekend actually. Like, yeah, I have it on pause right now. Like, I'm looking at it and it's paused right now. I'm trying my hardest not to grab my controller and play.
Yeah, I also want to say, speaking of P5, you reminded me after we're done recording, I need to actually download the demo and try out Strikers. Yeah. I mean, it looks good. It looks interesting. And it's cool to see a Persona game on Switch.
Yeah, like it's, and I was looking at someone, I was watching, I think I was watching GameSpot. No, I was watching IGN, and they did their like initial impressions of it. And they got it, and it's exactly what I said on stream. They got it right on the nose. They were saying, this is a game by the developers who's done Warrior games in the past, like Hyrule Warriors and, you know, Fire Emblem Warriors. And those games were Warrior games, but had little intricate things of their series, you know. But this game is more Persona than Warriors game. Like the everything else is Persona. The only thing that's different is the gameplay, which is so respectable.
So far, just from seeing like you play the game, I can tell it's more Persona than Warriors.
Yeah, sure. And I'm so happy that, because before I was like, okay, it's a hack and slash, but okay, I'll get it because it's Persona 5 and it's, you know, it's Warriors, I'll get it. But like, it's 100%, like, I'm guessing they're like, you know what, we're not going to ruin this prestigious series, especially 5 is such, the 5 is like the biggest series in Persona, like it's the best game they had. They're like, we don't want to do anything that takes away from what makes this game so great, and we just want to add, all we're doing is messing with the gameplay aspect of it, the combat aspect of it, which what I meant was the combat. Everything else we want to keep the same. Your interactions with the characters, how the story has played out, you know, the whole thing where you can, I'm not sure if they have like the the confidants in this one. If they did, it'd be sick, because then it would just make the game that much better. But you know, but you can still, like, I even, like, if you saw my hype, my excitement when you can still take other personas and use them as your own, they kept that, and I was so happy they did that, because that was what drew me into playing Persona 5, was the fact that besides the story and everything, it was just like, dude, your character has a unique power where he can take control of different personas. Like, he has more than one persona. I think the reason his name is Joker is because he's such a wild card, so he can take on different personas. But that's what I was so happy about, and I can't wait for that to come out in on the 20th, which is like another week from now.
About that is, and like the other thing about it is that it's also a sequel in a way.
Yeah, like they were even saying that, they were saying like if you guys have seen the trailer for Persona 5 Scrambled, like if you watch towards the end where they actually show the title, like you see P5 and you see 2, but then you see the S come around and smack, I haven't said it before, like you see the S smack it out of the way, and then it just says S. And the game Scramble takes place, I think, like a couple months after the events of the first game. So at first I was like, is this a retelling of the game? But it's or is it like a spinoff? Because they've done spinoffs before. But from what, and I don't understand Japanese, but from what I was seeing, it felt like it was a sequel to the, like, in a weird, and I put air quotes around it, a sequel to Persona 5, which is cool. And it's crazy because I was thinking about this. I'm like, okay, so last year, and they released in Japan Persona 5 Royal, which is like a retelling of the story, but they added so much more stuff. And then this year we get Persona 5 2, and then I think a month later we're getting Persona 5 Royale. So I'm hoping they keep in that trend. Like, I think, like, what, like 3-4 months down the line, we're gonna get Persona 5 2, which is Persona 5 Scrambled. I'm hoping that. So, but if you were interested in playing the Persona 5 series, I would wait until Persona 5 Royale comes out, because then you're going to get everything that comes within that package, plus new content that comes out for the game. So that's what I've been doing.
The sad thing about it is that, like, before I think it was like a month or so before I knew about Persona 5 Royale, I got Persona 5, and I was like, oh, dang it. Because, like, I didn't know, like, if it was a new game entirely, or if it was, like, a new game plus, where it's like the same game, but, like, some new content.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I was too. I was like, oh, Royale, cool. It's just going to be pay $30 for the expansion, and then we get all the stuff. We just continue our save data. But then at the same time, they're adding a brand new character and they're going to implement her into the story. So it would be hard to say, hey, buy the expansion and then you just get this if people are still playing through it. So they're just like, we're just going to, and I think it's cool that I had a gripe about it at first, but I'm like, you know, I'm over it. It's a retelling of the first game with a new character, but they're giving us all the old DLC content that came with it, plus the new stuff, plus whatever they're going to release on top of that, for the same value. You know what I mean? So I'm like, that's actually pretty good. You're not really robbing anyone of anything unless you didn't finish the game, so you have to pay for the game all over again. But I mean, that's not, if I don't finish this before Royale, I'm not going to be upset, because I don't mind going through and playing these games and falling in love with these characters again, because all these characters are so multidimensional, because they're like that because of your influence. You have 100% influence around them, especially the times when you get to spend time with them and build their relationship. Because if you build a relationship with them, you build their confidant level. And if you build up their confidant level to 10, their personas are that much stronger. So it doesn't just help you out just through getting items and stuff. It also helps you out when you're actually in combat, when you're getting these, when you're in combat. You'll get these different abilities that they have through growing your relationships with these characters. So if I had to start over, I wouldn't mind. Like, I wouldn't. It's a long game, but I wouldn't mind starting over and experiencing everything all over again. But yeah, that's pretty much been my week. I've just been playing Persona 5 everything this entire week. Like I said, man, my Persona 5 game is sitting right here. I'm trying my best not to grab my controller right now as we're doing this. So
yeah, I really need to play P5 again. I need to. Like, I'm at like the very beginning of it. So I don't even know if I should even continue it or if I should just get Royale. it's a tough slope, to be honest. I really don't know.
If you want me to help you out, just wait. Just wait for it. Just wait for P5R to come out, and then you will probably enjoy it a lot more then.
Yeah, that might end up being what I end up doing. But I was gonna say that was a perfect segment to One Up News, which I'm not gonna even lie. I'm surprised it's been a really short week. Not that much news, but some interesting stuff has been talked about this week, so let's go over it. So, for the first one, President of Nintendo, Shuntaro Furukawa, has revealed that they are planning to consolidate their 4 Tokyo offices into one building. In a report from Nikkei, it has been suggested that Game Freak will soon be moving there as well. And that's really interesting. I hope it's true, because I feel like that would be really good for Game Freak, because, like, Game Freak by itself is already a small company. And having them being in the same office as the other Nintendo studios, that would be really good if they ever need help on a game. Like, they're all in the same building, they can all collaborate. So it's really good to hear that they're doing that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. The fact that they're going to be all under one roof, they can literally share off each other whatever they need to, concept or something like that. And then going back to what you said, development wise, if they're stuck on something and they're like, well, we kind of need, one more employee here, or we need something else here that might make this, something different, then they can totally just kind of play off each other like that. And at the same time, they're not all spread out. You know what I mean? It's like you said, Game Freak is a small company. But they're small, but they're big at the same time. They're a small fish in a big pond, and they're surviving, and they're able to bring out these awesome games. But for them to be under Nintendo, literally, then it's just like, okay, cool. Now we're like, it just makes it feel like it's more official because now they're under the same roof and they'll have more backing and all that other stuff that will come with coming being under the same roof.
Yeah, like it'll just end up being better for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, the next thing, the producer of Cyberpunk 2077, John Mamise, was asked in an interview whether or not the game will be ported over to Switch. He says that he's unsure as of now if the game would work well on the system, but he later states that his team worked on porting over Witcher 3, and that they originally thought that it would be too heavy, but somehow they were able to pull it off. And that's really interesting. I know other people were talking about wanting to see Cyberpunk 2077 on Switch. I mean, hopefully they consider it as of if we'll be able to run. I mean, like he says, I mean, you know, I remember when Witcher 3 was first, when it was first rumored last year, like when there were like all, when there was, I want to say it was Australia. It was like a retail advertisement.
I think it probably was Australia.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I think so. So, and I remember people were like, "Nah, like this must be fake. Like Witcher 3 on Switch? No, that's not happening." And then when we finally got in the direct, people were really shocked. Like, wait, like they're actually putting this on Switch, and it's actually pretty decent looking.
Right.
So yeah, I think if Cyberpunk 2077 was on Switch, I think it would do well. I think it would do well. I saw the trailer for it last year at E3, and it looks really interesting. It looks like a really fun game. Mm-hmm. And if it was on Switch, I would probably get it on that as well as PS4. Like just to try it out portably.
Right, right. The fact that they're, you know, I mean, it to me, it's no surprise that, you know, these AAA titles that weren't 100% considered to be on the Switch are now like are getting a second look and saying, hey, maybe we should port it over. It's not surprising to me. But at the same time, if you look at these games and how well they look and how beautiful they look and how they run on these other, not saying that the Switch isn't capable of being able to run these on there, but when you see them like on the PS4 Pro and how with hardware wise how you can run a lot of these games and it's look really just beautiful and you get all these textures and everything like that, especially Cyberpunk, man, like if you've seen that game is so colorful and just so bright. Yep. And vibrant and sometimes I look at these games, I'm just like, man, what would it look like? Like, could they bring this to the Switch? And like they said, The Witcher 3, I have The Witcher 3 on my PS4 Pro. It's a huge game. And the fact that they're like, okay, we're going to do it. Let's try to do it. And they're able to pull it off. It's like, oh, dang, they were able to pull off bringing the Witcher 3 to the Switch. And I haven't really seen... It's so different to look at videos on YouTube and look at it and see how does it look.
Oh yeah, definitely.
There's so much rendering behind it, you know, like
compression and stuff.
Yeah, like you know, like it could come off rough, but then someone can when they upload it, they just render it really well, and it may look like this. Unless they're doing like over the shoulder shot of the Switch and how it's running on there. But then they said they were able to do it, and if they say they can port a huge game like that on the Switch, I'm sure they can do it on here. And the fact that it runs, you know, that it still runs, like I'm kind of looking at it now. I'm looking at the side by side right now, and it does run pretty well. It's not as sharp, but you know, it still runs and it still looks good. You know, besides other games, like I can go back and say what WWE 2K, what was it, 17 or 18?
Yeah, that was a mess.
It was a debacle. Oh, it was a nightmare.
I remember seeing that on YouTube, and yeah. I was like
me and Eddie,
what are they doing?
Yeah, me and Eddie were gonna get it, and we're gonna do stuff on it. But then once we saw it, we're like, we're not gonna put ourselves through that. But I think it's because they weren't And there's been stuff. There's a whole bunch of different things about that company that I'm not going to get into, but they weren't, it just wasn't, they weren't ready for it, and they didn't test it out as much. You know, I think they just said, oh, for the Switch, cool. And they just did it, and they just put it out. They didn't test it. But I'm sure if they say, hey, let's try to put it on the Switch. Let's not confirm anything yet, but let's see how it runs and run like an hour session or whatever to see how it runs. And because there's such a process to it, you know, you have to make sure it runs right and everything can run and it can handle it. If they have to dumb it down a little bit, they may have to dumb it down a little bit. But if they can do it on the Switch, it just makes Switch users even more happier. Like, you know, like just like you said, I'll get it for the Switch and for the PS4 if it does come out.
Yeah, same. I can't wait to see more progress. Hopefully, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we get more information about this, you know, mm-hmm. and if they actually consider putting it over to Switch.
Yeah.
But next up, this is going to be really interesting. We only have one big article of for this week. But before we talk about it, I just wanted to mention a very interesting point. So, since we started the podcast, it is very ironic and it's very apparent that a lot of our predictions have come true. Like, in one way or another, like, we talked about Paper Mario and, you know, that was in the news. We talked about, there was another game we talked about. Mario 3D World, that was mm-hmm. talked about. And then now, it has been confirmed that the Wonderful 101 is heading to Nintendo Switch, and the game developer, Platinum Games, has released a Kickstarter campaign, two additional features, being a time attack mode and a new 2D side-scroller have also been added. And it's a very interesting thing. Basically, it's not just coming over to Switch. It's coming to Switch, PS4, and Steam. And the interesting thing about it is that Platinum actually went to Nintendo and asked if they would be willing to publish the game.
Yeah, and they said no.
And basically, what they said is that they said you can publish it, but we just won't fund it.
Yeah, like that's crazy.
And it's mainly because, you know, like there, it's not, you know, it wouldn't be exclusive. It would be going over to PS4. Now, I'm actually curious whether or not, because it's been kind of muddy whether or not if Nintendo sold them the IP back, or if or if Nintendo actually still owns it and it's just going to be on PS4. If they do, that'll be really weird having a Nintendo, because I didn't even know that Wonderful 101 was a Nintendo IP. I did not know that. Because I assumed all of Platinum's games were
theirs.
Yeah. So that would be really weird having a you know, technically a Nintendo IP on PlayStation and Steam. Mm-hmm. And then, so I just have two things for this one, just, you know, general thoughts of it. And the question of, you know, should established game studios use crowdfunding for projects? Because it's been a really big debate since this has been announced. And it's mainly to do with the fact that the game's going to be coming out in April. And they've recently pushed it. So that means that they've been working on the game for a while. Because it's not gonna take 3 months to port a game. It takes even longer. So they've been working on this even previously before this Kickstarter was announced, and it has brought some controversy whether or not medium sized studios if they should use crowdfunding or if that should just be exclusively just for indie developers. I was curious what your take on it was.
All right, so I'll talk about my thoughts about this and how my thoughts about Wonderful 101 being released on multi-platforms. Well, Cliff, like you said, we talked about this before, and I think I went on a nice long rant about it, how much I want this game to be re-released. And how much I'm a big fan of, like, the Super Sentai and Kamen Rider series and how much of an influence this has on this game. I haven't looked at concepts, man. Like, it's a heavy, heavy, heavy influence on this game. I think those three and Beautiful Joe, and I mentioned that, you know, Beautiful Joe as well, because Beautiful Joe was done by Platinum before they changed their name. Then Clover Studios, I think that's what it's called. I think it's awesome. Like I said, I can't wait for it. I think it's weirdly been on the, like, I think about a couple, I want to say back in like July or somewhere, they've been kind of saying, hey, we want this on the Switch. And by saying that, they go through social media and post something so unseen or so obscure where they have, you know, Wonder Red playing a Switch, and you're like, what the heck? Why is Wonder Red holding a Nintendo Switch in his hand? Wait, are they saying they're bringing a Wonderful 101 to the Switch? And then there's just, you know, all these speculations happening. And then you see an article saying Platinum Games would like to see Wonderful 101 brought back to the Switch. We're like, oh my gosh, we're getting Wonderful 101 on the Switch. Like, it's happening. And then later on to hear that, hey, we're doing Wonderful 101, but Nintendo's not backing us anymore. Which is okay. And we're still getting it. And then now it's just like, cool, we have what we need. We're bringing you guys this game, no matter what. We already hit our funding. We already have this game. We have this game already done and ready. We just needed you guys' help to get us there. And we're getting it. And on three platforms, which is so awesome. You know, like, no one be... I can't even say Xbox One user going to miss out, because if you don't have a PC of some kind, then nowadays, then you're truly missing out on stuff. But there's no way you can miss out on this game now, because it's either on the Switch, PS4, or Steam. There's no way you can miss out on it. I was going to say,
you actually did make a good point. I'm actually very curious on why it's not coming to Xbox. That's a really good question. Mm-hmm. I don't know why Platinum will want to miss out on that user, because there are a lot of Xbox fans that will probably like to play the game.
Yeah, and I have a theory about that too. Is it
related to Scalebound?
Yeah, it's exactly that, because Scalebound is a Microsoft IP, and they wanted that too, but Microsoft isn't giving that up for some reason, and they're not letting it go, because I'm guessing they're seeing, because. And it's weird, because there was a thing where Microsoft and Nintendo were kind of like, we're kind of, you know, meeting secretly, and they're like, hey, you know, we're going to do this and this, this, and this. And everyone's like, dude, we're getting Scalebound on the Switch. And I was super excited. I was like, dude, that game should have been out like a long time ago. But, you know, they didn't follow through with it. And, you know, it's not a big deal. But now they're seeing how well they can do with, and, you know what? Let me. I'm gonna segue that to this. Let me keep going with this. They're seeing how well Wonderful 101 got this amazing support, and within a week or two, they're at $1.5 million as of today. $1.5 million,
which is backing. Actually really crazy, because
it's insane.
Like if you think about it, like the game did really poorly on Wii U, crazy that. Like that, it's really crazy that it's got this amount of funding in only a week.
In a week, like
I don't think anyone else has would have predicted that would have happened.
And it's not even a game that's like, oh, wonder what it is. Let's just put it in. We've seen it already, and people are like, wait, this game didn't do well. But I think it's one of those hidden gems that people are like, this game was really cool. It gave us something new. It meant something. And then now they're wanting to do this. And people who missed out on it and I think it's because people who missed out on it on the Wii, they're like, dude, we want this on the Switch. We saw it. I can't access a Wii. I can't find this game. If they wanted to bring it to the Switch, I'll back it in there. And, you know, within a week, and as of recording today, it's at $1.5 million of backing. So they've already hit their goal. They pretty much exceeded their goal of what they wanted to be, you know, when it's going to be, how it's going to be released. So we're definitely getting it for Switch, PS4, and the Steam. But I think because they're not doing it on Microsoft is because I think it has to do with something with Scalebound. And I'm sure they're like, well, since Wonderful 101 is doing well, we want to do a game where people are so looking forward to it. to this game and then we couldn't do it. Now we can see the possibility of doing this. We want to, you know, do this ourselves, but Microsoft isn't letting go. And I think because they see the potential in that game and they don't want to miss out on whatever earnings they get, you know, from that game. Cause that game has so much potential. It had a lot of potential to be better. It was an action RPG that had a multiplayer element to it. And I don't know if I told you what it was about. It was, or what the gameplay was. It was this kid who can control a dragon. So you're fighting with your dragon. He has a sword. He has a shield. He can say, hey, tell his dragon to go do this. And the dragon will throw a fireball in the building. Or, hey, there's this huge, like, kaiju type monster. Go fight it. And the dragon will go have this straight up kaiju versus kaiju battle in the middle of the field as you're fighting. And this isn't like scripted. This is like, you're actually, you know, your dragon is actually fighting this thing, taking the health from this thing, and you're taking out whatever other objective. And he has the ability to, I think he has the ability to talk to his dragon because he's kind of like, his arm was like a dragon scale, I guess, which gave him the ability to go full on scale dragon mode or however, I don't know. It was such a small, it was a 9 minute thing, but you couldn't extract it too much.
I was gonna say that's actually pretty crazy. It reminds me a little bit of the PS4 game called it's made by Sony. It came out 2 years ago. I forget what the name of it is. It has a similar concept where you control a beat. I forgot exact what is it. Like I don't know if you know what the game I'm talking about.
I'm trying to think back to it right
now. It was on the PS2 and it got remade on PS4.
Oh, what was it called? Eco or like no, not Eco. What is it? Oh, gosh, I can't. I think I know what you're talking about, but I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up as we speak right now because I know I'm going to
bug you like crazy
if I don't.
But I think Microsoft doesn't want to miss out on that, so that's why they're not letting go of that IP. But it's, to me, it's stupid. If you're not going to do anything with this IP, why not just, you know, why not let it go? You know, like, you're fighting to try to get this money for it, but you're not willing to work with them, but at the same time, you're not willing to give it up. I don't understand that.
I found it. It was called The Last Guardian.
Yeah, The Last Guardian. That's, yeah, I know what you're talking about, The Last Guardian. No, yeah,
it reminds me a lot of that when you're just like describing how the game
plays. Yeah, you know what's crazy? It came out for the PS3. It was going to come out for the PS3, but then they pushed it because the PS4 was coming out and they saw the potential of the PS4. So then they pushed it back to the PS4. I don't think it was released yet.
It had like a very long dev
cycle. Yeah.
I was gonna add on to what you were saying earlier is that and here's the crazy thing is that this isn't the only game that Platinum's gonna be working on. They had an announcement where they're working on four games that are also gonna have Kickstarters. Yeah. And one of them was Wonderful 101. The other three, we don't know what they possibly be. I know people are saying Bayonetta, but I highly doubt it. I think Nintendo wants to have Bayonetta close to their chest.
Yeah.
They don't want to get rid of that. And also, same with Astral Chain. That game has sold really well. I don't think they're going to get rid of that as well.
No, they're not going to do that.
So it's probably going to be either a new game or a re-release like they're doing with Wonderful 101. Yeah. I was going to add on to what you were saying earlier and to say if one of those games is Beautiful Joe, I will freak out.
I'm not gonna cuss. I will lose my mind if.
Yes, if
oh my actually, gosh.
And we talked, and here's like I said earlier, we talked about this.
It's gonna happen a few weeks ago.
Like if they actually do this, and we get a Beautiful Joe,
I'm telling you right now, we're doing an emergency podcast just to cover that, just to be like, dude, yes. What did I say? Episode 1. What did I say? But going on to your next, should other game studios use crowdfunding? Let me just say this. Kickstarters are a very risky way to get money because it can take years, you know, if you're not selling it right. You know, like if you're not selling your product right and and you're not presenting it in a way that's going to be appealing to us, it can take a very long time. You know, Wonderful 101 is I had a word for it, and it was just like, it's slipping my mind, but it was like, it's such a rare occurrence that in a week, a game that didn't do well, that's going to be re-released on different consoles with more content, to reach $1.5 million in a week, that doesn't happen. You know, that doesn't,
developers. That doesn't happen on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I would like to say that I think the reason why is probably because it's already an established game, and it's also a port.
Yeah.
So that might have something to do with it, but, I mean, the main reason what I was going to say is that sometimes what you'll see is that, you know, people will fund these projects, and then either, like, nothing happens to it, mm-hmm. or it just takes a very long time before something actually releases.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's so scary about Kickstarters. Like, even not even just in the world of gaming, in the realm of gaming, you know, you've seen these, even in the film industry, you know, when people put out, I'll give a good, great example. Stephen Amell, I think I'm saying his name right, that played the Arrow. He and his brother did a movie called Code 8, and I think they announced it in around like the third or fourth season of Arrow, maybe the fifth. They announced it and announced a Kickstarter. That movie wasn't done till last year, and they did a Kickstarter for it. You know, it takes so much time, and you know, and they had to sell it. It was a great sell. Like, I haven't seen it. I was interested in that movie, but even then, it doesn't matter what realm you're going to do a Kickstarter in. It's such a risky move, you know? Yes, you'll have full control of everything you want to do. Like, that's the goal, is to have a full control of a project like that. But it can take up to years before you'll even put out anything or you'll get enough funds to do anything. You know, this is like, I keep having the phrase in my head. I keep forgetting it. This is like a rare occurrence for Platinum Games to get that much money on something like this. I think if game studios or game developers want that 100% full control, you're gonna have to sell it like crazy for people to say, oh heck yeah, I can't wait for this, and then for them to put in. And then another thing too, what's so cool is that with Wonderful 101, we're not just putting in money and then we're gonna have to pay for the game later. You're putting in money so then they can send you the game when it comes out. You know what I mean? Like, we're not putting in money. We're not putting in $50 so then when the game comes out, we got to pay another $50 just to, you know, so we can play. It's like, I just put in $50. Why do I have to buy the game if I just funded it for you? You know, they're giving us incentives. There's like, hey, there's 30. If you put in $35, like, I have it here. I'm not going to go through the entire list, but I have it here. Like, if you put in $36, you're getting the digital version. If you put in $41, you get a physical copy. If you put in $75, you'll get the physical game plus the OST and the chain and the keychain and the digital comic. If you put in, I'll go to the max amount. If you put in, oh my God, what's the max amount? Oh my gosh. If you put in $5,000 into this game, you're going to get the digital tracks, the comic book, the physical copy, the keychain, the abridged CD track, the t-shirt, the stickers, the comics, the cards, the soft art. You're getting all of this stuff. So it's not, so they're not saying, and there's one left of the $1,000 one. You got to be kidding me. So people have done that? What the heck? anyway. But there's incentives, you know. We're not just putting in money to buy it again. They're like, hey, if you put in this in our game, we're going to give you the game. Like this one here, this is actually pretty cool. A $77 one, you're going to get two physical copies of the game. Like, that's cool. You know, you can buy one for yourself. And if you're like a content creator like Mirror Cliff, we can give one away or something like that. You know, there's incentives. So there's a lot of elements that you have to consider before doing a Kickstarter. Like, I would love to see I love Platinum Games. And the fact that they're like, we want to have our name on this and that's it. so we can do whatever we want. I love it. And the fact that they've done so well in a week, it's like, it gives me faith that they can probably do this with any other title, and praying that they get the same response that they did with 104-101.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Okay, so we're going to take a quick little break and we'll be right back. Okay, we are back, and it's time to do one of the discussions, which, if you haven't already known by the title of the video, I kind of talked about it earlier, but I kind of want to talk about my problem with Animal Crossing.
Yep.
My obsession with Animal Crossing, to be more specific, and I figure there's been a lot of Animal Crossing news this past week, and I figured let's do a little mini segment that I would like to call Tom Nook's Corner.
Yeah. So. I was, you know what? If it's gonna be Tom Nook's Corner, I don't know if I should sit back and just give it to you.
Yeah, I'll be on the. I'll have my soapbox for.
Yeah, you know what? We should switch roles because I'm the one who's always so talkative and stuff. We should switch roles. We should just give it.
Yeah. Let's do that. So, like I said earlier, I have a problem, more like an addiction, and its name is Animal Crossing New Horizons. I've never been so excited for a game in the months of its release since Breath of the Wild, and throughout the past week, there's been so much news. And like I said earlier, let's go over it. I mean, the first one, which this was like a bombshell, like nobody like really saw this coming. It's been predicted. I predicted it as well on Twitter. But Nintendo revealed last week an Animal Crossing themed Switch, and it's really gorgeous. It looks amazing. It is so unique. There hasn't been like a Switch like this before, because it's fully customized. The dock, the Joy-Cons, even the back of the system. Like, Nintendo is really going all in with this. And it's crazy because at first, I predicted that maybe they would do a Switch Lite. But no, they just went straight Switch, which was really interesting. Really interesting. Like, I already have it pre-ordered. But this entire system, like, it is, like, selling out here in North America. Like,
I can imagine.
I remember like just waiting for it to hit Amazon, and like trust me, like it was on Amazon. Let's see, it's Sunday right now. I believe it was Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday when it popped up on Amazon, and within that day, it sold out. Like, wow. by the end of the day, it sold out, and I was so lucky that I had pre-ordered it like the morning, like the second it was up. And it's crazy. Like, this is gonna, like, Animal Crossing is gonna sell a lot of units, I could tell. And it's just good for me because I kind of wanted an excuse to get the revision Switch. And now with this, it's that I found my excuse, Animal Crossing. I found the excuse. But yeah, I don't know, if you're picking up the Switch or not.
I don't know if I'm gonna get that version of the Switch. Like I said, I'm not as big of an Animal Crossing fan. The only Animal Crossing game I played was Pocket Camp when it first came out, because I knew everyone was gonna be playing. I was like, I'll give it a shot, and it was fun.
Wait, I mean, you know what? Because that's the, I mean, we definitely, when this game comes out, we definitely need to get you initiated. in the
I'm gonna get it because I
he would be a part of our cult, the Animal Crossing cult.
I'm gonna get it because I already know, like, our inner circle, everyone's going to have it. So I'm like, you know what? I don't want to be playing. I don't want to be playing, like, you know, whatever I'm playing, and half of my friends list is playing Animal Crossing, and I'm like missing out on everything. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna get it. Because all the cool kids are getting it, and I want to be part of the cool kids for a little bit, and then and I'll slowly fade away.
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely say that, like you will like this game, like, especially since you said that you've only played Pocket Camp. Mm-hmm. Like, the mainline games are a lot different than Pocket Camp, and
right.
There's a lot more options. And I like I said, I like, it's so crazy. If you go on my Twitter, for anyone who's following me on Twitter. I don't even know why. Like, all of my past tweets have been Animal Crossing. My retweets, my tweets.
Yeah, they have.
Like, and I've been following a lot of people in the community, and it's really crazy. Like, I swear, like I said earlier, I've never been so excited for a game like this since Breath of the Wild, when now it's about to come out. And I just can't wait to get my hands on it. It's already available to pre-order on the eShop, so if you want to just have it up on your Switch already. I will probably be doing that when we're done, because I have a voucher, like one voucher left on my Switch, and I'm debating whether or not, because I'm like, you know what, I think I want to play this day one on midnight, because freaking Target is gonna like have my game ship like a few days after it comes out. I'm like, no, I gotta play this day one.
Wait, like, hold on, so the Switch, they still have vouchers? They still do that?
Oh, no, I just have one left over. I mean, there is a way to get vouchers from the UK eShop. They still do that.
Okay.
I had one from when they were doing it, and I used one for Dragon Quest Builders 2, and then the other one I just saved. I was actually holding it for Animal Crossing.
Oh, so, I got you.
I think I'll use it.
Yeah, I remember when they were doing it. I didn't know they were still doing it. I didn't know, like, your vouchers don't become invalid or expired after they stop doing it. That's cool. They still have them open for people to.
Yeah,
it's
still available. Then the second thing that has been announced, like, there's basically been some controversy over the lack of cloud save support, along with the inability to transfer saves from one Switch to another. Mm-hmm. Nintendo recently responded that a solution to recover your save in case of loss or death is being considered. But basically for that is, like, what do you think about the lack of cloud saves at launch? Like, that's a really weird thing. I don't know why they have to consider it. I honestly don't know why, because, I mean, with Animal Crossing, it's a game where you play that the entire goal of it is to play every single day, and people in the community invest a lot of hours trying to, you know, collect like all the items and have a perfect town and whatnot. And like, it's a game that people like honestly play for like years and years and years. And to think that your town could just, you know, disappear if something happens to your Switch is just bad. Like, yeah, it's a bad thing. I mean, I am glad that they're at least, you know, working on a way, but I don't think it should have been like that to begin with. It should have just, like, from day one, okay, you know, cloud save support, there we go.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I'm bittersweet with it.
I think cloud saving in general is like an awesome idea. The fact that it's not implemented as much now, I don't get either, because it's just like you said, anything can happen. I think the whole thing with the Switch, we can back up stuff, that's cool and everything, but, you know, there's still something that can happen, even though, because you can only back up what you have on your Switch. Nothing goes up to the cloud or anything like that. So the fact that developers in general don't think about cloud gaming, it's just like, okay, where, like, really, why not think about this simple concept? You know, you have a server, build your own server, put the game, you know, whenever you're saving, it saves here and there. So, but no, I've heard about stuff on Animal Crossing where people lose their towns and stuff for something so accidental. For them to implement cloud gaming or not to implement cloud gaming in the first place, is kind of odd, but they're on it now. So hopefully it becomes something, and then hopefully other developers see that, hey, cloud gaming is a thing, or cloud saving is a thing. So we should jump on it, like, you know, immediately.
Yeah. And I think that the weirdest thing about it is that, you know, Animal Crossing is not really a competitive game. And which is the reason why it's like, I don't understand why. And like, cause like games like Mario Kart, I mean, that has cloud save support, but Animal Crossing doesn't. And they're saying it's because, you know, they don't want people to time travel and get items. But it's like, you know, like, it's not really a competitive game. It's a game that you play for fun.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter if someone wants to cheat and get, you know, like, in my opinion, you should play the game however you want.
Yeah.
As long as there's, like, no competition. Like, as long as it's a game that doesn't, you know, where, that's not centered around competition like Splatoon or Mario Kart, then I can really care less, because it's mostly a single-player game.
Right.
It's mostly single-player. I mean, like, you can go online and play with your friends, but it's mostly just a single-player game.
Yeah. I've always never understood why developers were people. It's not cheating per se, because you're not doing anything. You're not breaking the game. You're just changing your time zone or whatever, so you can access this early. You know, it doesn't, I mean, I get the fact where people can see like, oh, he has this early. Why? You know, but there's always a workaround in gaming. You know, I don't know why that's such a big, I mean, I get why it's a big deal, but I don't know what's taken. So why is it taken so seriously in a way? I'll give you an example. The first Yo-Kai Watch game, I don't know if you remember, there was a way where you can gain a lot of, you can get a lot of, Krankakai, I forgot the name, but you get a lot of Krankakai coins by, you know, time traveling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like you can, there was one you can like take pictures. You can take a picture of something, and you can only do it once a day. You can easily just go into your Switch, manipulate the time, go back, take another picture, jump out, manipulate your Switch time, go back. You can do that for a while. And then also, you can also manipulate your Krankakai, you know, because usually you can only do a Krankakai one day, and you can come back and do it another day. There was a way in Yo-Kai Watch 1 where you can just time travel. And Krankakai, you didn't get anything. All right, cool. Manipulate your time again. Go back in. Krankakai, oh, I got Cruncha. Nice. Okay, I'm trying to go for Frosttail or go for QB or whatever you're trying to go for. And then in Yo-Kai Watch 2, they're like, hey, if you do that, you're getting penalized. And it was just like, okay, that kind of sucks. I mean, because you limit us, you know, 3 Krankakai or how many Krankakai you give us a day. And we got to wait a whole 24 hours. Like, I never got the point of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a little bit of competitiveness, but I don't think too many people did competitive online on there. But I didn't see a reason for that. And I agree, you know, Animal Crossing is more of grinding and more of continuous this, continuous that. And in the event of they're like, hey, we're going to hold this event on the day, and if people can time travel and go do it, and it shouldn't be based off, you know, what the game's time. It should be the time you actually launch the event, you know, and then people can, you know, people won't be able to time travel and start the event early because it's on when you guys launch and not when you have it set up to that point. I don't get why time traveling was a big deal in Animal Crossing. Someone wants to get this early. You know, if they don't want to wait a day for this to happen, they don't have to. They can just be, all right, I'm just going to jump this time and then just go back and do it and do this. Yeah. And everybody, all right, cool.
And then also, like, Animal Crossing is also, you know, a very creative game. So some people might want to time travel just to get items that they want for their house or their town, like, just so they have a nice town.
Yeah.
So I can definitely understand that. Like, I've done time traveling myself for various reasons, like just so I could get, you know, items for my house or my town.
Yeah.
And, you know, I definitely understand that.
Yeah. And I can also see the reason behind it too, because they want it to have like a full immersed experience where it's just like, hey, you know, store won't happen today, but it'll happen tomorrow. So it kind of makes that little, you know, realistic kind of feel to it. But at the same time, you know, like you said, people can play how they want to play. I think that's what the beauty of that game is. It's free reign. You know, nothing is, you know, locked behind this or locked behind that. You know, it's however you want to do it. If you want to create a town that looks like this and you got to wait the time span of 3 days, you should have the right to be like, well, I don't have time to wait for 3 days. Let me just time travel real quick, grab this, go back, and I'm cool. You know, unless like they do it like, hey, if you time travel, that's cool. But guess what? You're going to be in here by yourself or something. Like, you're going to be in this place by yourself. No one's going to see your town or your house. Unless they're in the same time zone as you are, or you know, something like that, unless they come in clever like that.
Well, I mean, that can't really happen mainly because, you know, like, people are all over the world.
Yeah.
So, like, there's no way to really centralize that. You know? But I mean, I do get what you're saying, but I don't know. It's a weird situation. But yeah. I wanted to segue that to, like, the last thing, which is really, it's really. I would probably say it's more controversial than the other one, and it's basically and in the ESRB listing for New Horizons, it appears that the game will have quote-unquote in-game purchases. And after doing some research, I watched a video from someone I watched called Nintendo Prime, and basically he did like a full and blown in-depth video where he went on Nintendo's website to see exactly what they mean by in-game purchases, and it seems that the games that have that on the listing are games that actually have like microtransactions, you know, like Smash Bros, how you can buy the Mii costumes, and also in Fire Emblem Three Houses. And so it makes me really scared because I like, as a hardcore Animal Crossing fan, I don't want to see in-game purchases in New Horizons. I'm fine with DLC. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to have like DLC packs, I'm fine with that. But I don't want to have microtransactions, and that's the main reason. Like I said earlier, that's the main reason why I don't buy fortune cookies in Pocket Camp, because I don't want to pay real money for furniture. I don't want to do that. I want to just earn it in game, and I don't want to have to pay for it. You know, like, I feel like once I buy the game, you know, everything I earn should just be from, you know, the game currency.
Right. To go off what you're saying, you're right. I'm not a big fan of microtransactions in a game that I paid freaking $65 for. You know, why do I have to pay? You know, why do I have to pay for like furniture if I can easily just unlock, if it's something I can easily unlock? Like, you're right. When it comes to DLC, it's different. If you're saying, hey, here's DLC, we're going to give you guys a brand new story thing where you can unlock more customizable pieces, like, you know, more furniture, more costumes for characters, you know, you can customize your bus or something like that or whatever. You can have two mayors in it or something crazy, but you bought the DLC so you can be able to unlock that stuff later. For you to say, hey, if you want, you can pay for this house if you wanted to get it early, or you just grind for it. And most likely people are going to do the grinding for it because they don't want to spend, even though it can be the smallest amount, people don't want to spend that much money on a game that they're, if they can unlock it, you know, either way. It's different for free to play. Like, I get it. Free to play, they have to make money somehow, so they're going to get you to pay money for it. But, you know, like, for microtransactions in a game, if you, and this is my thing, you don't need to do that for a game like this. You know, you're going to get money from it regardless. People are going to buy the game. That's where your main thing is from. Why would you have in-game and microtransactions in the game? You've already seen how microtransactions is such a no-no thing. It's a don't touch that. You're getting your hand slapped thing. You know, like, you don't do that. You there's so many other developers who've done microtransactions, and you see so many other developers get so much backlash from it.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and like not only that, but I just feel that like having microtransactions in New Horizons, like it will ruin the experience for not just me, but a lot of other people. Like right. it will ruin what Animal Crossing is in a way. Because in the past, like in previous games, what they would do is, like even like a month or a few months after the game comes out, they would do occasional like free updates where you'll get free items, and that's what they'll do. And
yeah, I think I've seen that before.
And like that's a way better thing. And even like I said, like I said with the DLC option, like I DLC is a lot different than microtransaction because they could do like a pack of DLC for like, you know, maybe like $5-$10 that has like, you know, new items. And that would be a way better approach than to nickel and dime people.
Yeah.
Especially with a game that has a lot of, you know, clothing options, furniture options. Like this is a game that has the potential for, you know, things to go bad that, you know, in that direction.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think microtransactions is a thing for a full retail game. You shouldn't really, like I said, if you haven't seen what other games have done with that, and you don't see the backlash that's happened from it, you don't want that you can't do anything differently from what they've tried. I'm sure they had the same thing. Oh, we're going to do it differently. Well, not really, because you're still having us pay. Like, I'll give you an example. Star Wars Battlefront 2 for that EA did, they had in-game transactions that were like, hey, you will give you a loot box, but this loot box is at random. So it's like, okay, so I'm paying so I already bought the game, I have to pay another whatever just to get this so I can have my Stormtrooper, my Jedi, whatever, have better stats, but it's such a gamble because I'm not going to get what I want, and it's a loot crate. So it's just like, okay, we'll see how that goes. And they got so much backlash from it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, to the point where they had to take it out of the game. Like, that's crazy. Like, for you to say, we're going to add this in it, but we're going to do it differently. And for people to complain about it so much to where you're like, now you have that thing looming over you. Even though you take it out of the game, you're just like, okay, well, now we have this thing where our game had microtransaction. It was so bad that we had to do this. You know, you don't want that. You don't want that that looming presence to loom over you like that. You know,
and not only that, but it's a bad reputation. And like you said earlier, like I've seen what they've done. Like, for example, with Mario Kart Tour. I definitely don't like that approach.
Yeah.
I'm fine with the whole subscription thing, but the microtransactions, I can't stand with that game.
Yeah, that game is so pay to win. I stopped playing that game. Pay to win. It's ridiculous.
So yeah, like it was just, I don't know, like it will ruin Animal Crossing if they decided to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's move on to the next discussion, which is and a QA. In a Q&A with investors, President of Nintendo Shintaro Furukawa has said that by placing our main focus on the Nintendo Switch, we feel we can have a very different hardware life cycle than previous Nintendo consoles. And that got me thinking, how long do you see the Switch lasting for? Like, despite this quote, I think that maybe the Switch might last as long as the Nintendo DS. And the DS lasted a pretty long time. That came out, it came out 2004, and the 3DS came out around 2011.
Yeah.
But even still, I think there were still games coming out even after 3DS came out. Still, yeah. So. I don't know, like the Switch might have like maybe like a ten year life cycle, possibly.
Yeah,
but yeah. I'm just curious, like, you know, like what you think about that.
I hope the Switch has a long lasting life cycle. It's an incredible console. you know, it has so much to its predecessor, the 3D. I'll say it. The predecessor of the Switch is the 3DS, 100%. I don't care what anybody says. The 3DS, the no, not even the, let's just not even say that. The DS is the predecessor to the Switch, 100%. You know, it lasted for about 5 years, 6 years before they were like, let's just redesign the 3DS, the DS, and make it a 3DS. So then they can run more 3D game, 3D looking games on here. It's still the DS, but it's just another awesome feature on it. They can do more stuff to it. I think the Switch is going to have that same cycle. You know, it's already been like what?
4 years.
4 years already since the Switch came out, you know, and.
Which is kind of crazy if you think about it.
Yeah. And for us to hoping that we get another 5 years for the Switch, well, we might get a Switch Pro, you know, within this year or next year, we'll get the Switch Pro. And then that's just going to elevate the Switch of what it was, you know, following the footsteps of its predecessor, you know, the DS. So I do hope that we get the Switch last for a very long time. Like I've always hoped that, hey man, I'm hoping the PS4 lasts for a long time before we get a new one. And then daggone it, we're getting a new PS4 this year and I'm still getting used to this one. But you know, for the Switch to be able to last so long and to just say, we're not making a new console, we're just going to elevate this one, and for it to still be able to run all the games that we wanted to run and all that stuff. It's very
interesting about that, because typically Nintendo systems, like when it comes to your home consoles at least, are, you know, within 5 years. So it is different. The only exception that would be like the Wii. The Wii had the longest life cycle. I think that was 7.
Yeah. When did the Wii come out?
It came out 06, and the Wii U came out 2012. So yeah, 6 years.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, to see a home console, hopefully a home console lasts that long, would be cool. Like if we get a Pro, that's like, okay, it's still the Switch, but it's just, it just runs a lot smoother now, you know?
Yeah, and I feel that we will probably get one eventually, whether or not it's this year or next year. I know some people with this article in particular, people were saying, well, I guess that means that we won't get one, but it's still possible. I mean, even with the DS, like the DS had a lot of revisions as well. I mean, the DS original came out 2004, like I said, and then I believe it was... I want to say it was 06 or 7 was when the DS Lite came out.
Oh, I remember that.
And then 2009 was the DSi, if I'm correct.
Yeah, remember that.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's still possible for a revision to happen. It's never out of possibilities.
Question. Yeah, it's never out of the question that we're not going to get a new console or a new version of this. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the future of the Switch. It still has a very bright future. It's not dying out anytime soon.
Oh yeah, like it really isn't. I was gonna make this an article. I don't know why I didn't. But you made a good point, and about that, like the Switch currently is at 50 million units. It has right now has passed the SNES sales, which is crazy. I remember back when the Switch first came out and we got news that it outsold the Wii U, I was like, yeah, this is going to probably be a 100 million unit seller.
Right.
Like, it's probably going to hit Wii numbers by the time it's done.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No.
And, I mean, just going by right now, I mean, like I said, it's been 4 years. 4 years and that 50, so another 4 years. We might, you know, like just going by, you know, logic, it's possible that we'll get to 100.
Yeah, and it's crazy because what's making this Switch last so long is it's not, you know, they're allowing third party developers to come in and make games for the Switch. It's not like the Wii U. Like the Wii U kind of had a short lifespan. I say like 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years.
Like 4 years because they didn't really let anyone else develop for their console. You know, now we have, now they're saying, hey, not, I'm not going to say like they said they made a mistake. I think they didn't do it right how they should have done it. And now they're like, we don't want this to happen for the Switch because there's so many possibilities for this thing. We're going to open it up to more developers, and that's what's going to make it last even longer.
Yeah, and to add on to that, I was going to say, yeah, like the Switch is like, it really is a system that reinvigorated third party support.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think I've seen a system with this much third party support since the GameCube. I mean, the Wii obviously had third party support, but most of the games were shovelware.
Yeah.
But like actual true third party support was with GameCube.
With GameCube, exactly.
And it's really interesting to see this come back again. And the Wii U did try at times, and it was a weird thing where some developers just didn't want to work with it. And then it was a mix between the power of the system and then also the gamepad and people and developers not wanting to work with that. And it was a big convoluted thing. And then also we have to think is that at the time, the PS4 and Xbox One were coming out, and it was significantly different than that. And it had a way different archetype. It was running off of PowerPC compared to X86 with the PS4 and Xbox One.
Right.
And even though the Switch is only a little bit more powerful than the Wii U, the architecture is modern enough where developers can port their games to it, and that's the main difference on why we're getting these games.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, I honestly can't wait to see, like I said before, I can't wait to see the future still very bright and what other developers will and who knows, man, like we might get like a developer that said that work with Sony and all these other ones and just say, hey, we're just going to work for the Switch for a little bit. You never know. We might see that. We might see something like that.
Yeah. I mean, the possibilities are endless.
Yep, exactly.
But speaking of endless, while talking about the upcoming Super Mario movie, Shigeru Miyamoto explains that he had considered bringing more of Nintendo's content to the field of video making due to the potential engagement growth of their IPs. And this basically just brought the question of what other Nintendo IPs should be used in film and television. And you don't even have to tell me.
You don't have to tell me.
For television, I want to see a Zelda TV series. I want it to be like Game of Thrones. I wanted to cover, I want it to be about like the Hyruleans. I wanted to be like, like a fantasy kingdom show where it goes over the kingdom and stuff like that, and kind of go over like the side characters of Zelda, not really like Link in particular, but it's some of the things that you don't always notice, like talk about smaller characters.
So you want a show that's based around the world of The Legend of Zelda, but like a prologue to Legend of Zelda before everything happens, and before Ganon and the things that kind of led up to Ganon and before Link was the hero of time and all that stuff. Lore of Hyrule. I guess that's why I wanted.
Yeah, that's basically what I want. Like I want to see more of. Just like more of how Hyrule was before, before Ganon took over, basically.
That'd be pretty dope.
And then another one for television. This is going to be more of a animated thing. And I know that you're going to probably agree with me with this immediately. Is I want to see a full blown anime for Kid Icarus Uprising.
That'd be pretty dope.
I swear, like when they released the shorts back in 20. I think it was like 2012 or 13. Mm. It was like a long time ago on 3DS. Mm. I remember seeing that. I was like, yes, like give me an anime. I want a Kid Icarus anime. Like that would be amazing because the game already has fantastic dialogue. And I feel like that would be perfect for anime series.
So like have the like a series, like a TV show?
Yeah, like an actual anime for it.
I think it'll be so having like I think it'll work in a 2.5D. I think 2.5D would be awesome for that. It would be perfect for that.
Because I don't know if you've seen the shorts for.
Yeah, I've seen them. We were talking about it before, and I went back and I thought they look actually pretty cool.
Yeah, like just keep doing what they're doing with the shorts and just make that into its own, full series. But that's basically it. I don't really know about like a film. Oh, no, actually I do. Actually I do. Never mind. I have an idea. For film, I remember seeing teasers for this, like parodies like a long time ago. I think it was on IGN, like a big thing on like April Fools. And it just makes so much sense because this franchise doesn't really have, I mean, it's a popular franchise, but it doesn't sell as big, and that is Metroid. I want a Metroid movie. Like a live action
That'd be pretty cool.
Metroid movie. Like that would be amazing.
That'd be cool. Yeah, that would actually be pretty cool. Like, kind of have like the aliens versus like the aliens vibe to it.
Yeah,
Like
that could definitely work.
PG-13 esque movie. That'd be pretty cool.
So what about you? What would you want to see in film and television? Gaming someday?
I think for me, and I think for me, I would, I'd say for television, for sure, I would love for them to go back and look at that Star Fox short that they did before before the release of the game, and just emphasize on that, and just do like a short little mini series of that. That'd be dope. I would totally watch that. Just exactly how they animated it, do that. I don't know for film. Like I don't really know. I don't know what I would want for a movie. Maybe I don't know. I don't know what I want for a movie, honestly. Oh no. Actually no, I'll take that back. I take that back. I would love to see, and we've discussed this before, I would love to see an anime. Yeah, maybe anime, maybe 2D5 or 2.5D, short of Smash Bros.
Oh yeah, like a smash.
That like
That
a mini series. Like
would
I say
be
like 10
really.
episodes, 10, 15 episodes.
That would actually be kind of cool.
That'd be cool. I can't really say what the direction it will be, but like that would be cool, and just pick like I don't know, like five actual protagonists of the show, because there's so many characters. You would have to have like your heavy hitters, obviously, that would leave the show. And well, if you that's hard because not a lot of characters would talk. I guess I'd say like a 10 episode mini series, that'd be cool. And then for TV and like for a movie, I think I would probably go Star Fox. That would be cool. Like a Star Wars kind of feel, maybe Star Wars. Yeah, I think Star Wars would work. Like a
Yeah, that
Star
would
Wars
probably
kind of,
work.
like a Star Wars kind of feel. A Star Fox, same thing. Or I would say for Smash, it'd be like a anime style. For Star Fox, just go back to when you did the Star Fox Zero short, like the fourth that's 14-minute little thing they did, and just turn that into add another hour and a half on there, and just do that. That'd be dope.
Yeah, that really will be an interesting thing. I was gonna say, I have one more other idea, but you know what? I'm gonna just segment this if you're done with your answers. Okay, because this is actually a great segue to One Up Mailbox. So, as always, if you'd like to leave any feedback or questions for us, you can submit questions to Twitter at JustCliffYT, on our Discord, and also on Anchor, anchor.fm/D1UpCrew. So we actually got some answers for this episode's community question, which was
Okay.
the same thing about, you know, like what Nintendo IP would you want to see as a television series? And we got a couple. We got one from a fellow friend that we know, BWA Switch. And she says, of course, I would have to say Animal Crossing. The movie was enchanting, and it could be a soap opera type of show with all of the various benign scandals and performances that take place between villagers on a daily basis in an Animal Crossing town. That would be kind of funny. I would love to see it, because I know that we had there was one Animal Crossing movie in Japan.
Really?
It was an anime. It was for Wild World, and it actually has a fan dub on YouTube. And it's actually really good. It's really good.
I didn't know that.
And yeah, I would like to see another movie. That'll be really nice. Like just because I would like just because I already like Animal
Yeah.
Crossing. If they did one for New Horizons, that would be kind of cool. I know that in Japan there's a manga for New Horizons.
I think I've seen that. I've seen things on that.
So if they were to like to just port that to like an animated thing, that would be really nice.
Ooh. See, they need to do that. Like, just give us like Nintendo IPs, just like anime, manga form. I'd read that. I'd read a manga form of Legend of Zelda. Or they actually do have that, actually. They do have, I think it's a
Yeah,
comic book or a manga for Legend of Zelda.
they have a Zelda manga.
Yeah, I'd read that.
And then the next one we got is from GameSunk at GameSunk FRFX, and he says a Splatoon anime will be lit. The music and visuals will be perfect. They could also go more in depth with the lore. Yes, yeah,
That'd be
that would
cool too.
actually be really nice. Like a Splatoon anime, like they could
That'd
really
be
like
epic.
they could go in depth with it. Like I would love to see that.
Like the action scenes with that'd be epic.
Yes, I would love that. And then like, 'cause the game already like has a little bit of lore. But if they were able to like just dive a little deeper with it, that would be perfect. And then the last answer we got was from Just X at Just X 20, and he says, "Metroid. I've always wanted to see a live action Metroid film. If that could be broken up into a series and expanded upon, I would be a happy camper." Yeah, like that would be cool too. Like if you were to make a Metroid series, that would work as well.
Yeah, I can see that. Like I said, like more like a alien or like a I say more like an alien vibe with that, you know, because you know you have your space bounty hunter, and she's going after these different things, and her main goal is to get to Mother Brain, and it just works out like that. Or
Yeah,
even or
or maybe
dude,
like a I was gonna say like a Mandalorian type of.
yeah, that'd be cool, like a Mandalorian kind of thing. That'd be cool too.
Hey, that
You
would be
should.
really interesting.
No, I think they should just do like a Metroid Fusion. I would watch that. I love Metroid Fusion.
Oh yes,
Love
I know
Metroid
we've
Fusion.
talked about Metroid Fusion in the past,
Yeah,
and
I love Metroid
how
Fusion.
that would work really well.
Or you know what? Forget that. Just give us a remake of Metroid Fusion. Just give me a remake of Metroid Fusion. I'll be set.
Just do that. Just
Yeah,
put.
just give me a Metroid. I don't want to watch it because if I watch it, I'm gonna want to play it, and I'm gonna play it. Why didn't they just do a remake of Metroid Fusion for Switch? Just give me a Metroid Fusion remake. I'm good. I don't need a show.
That would work. That would work as well. Because
Not a show.
like Fusion is a really good game, and it's technically like the last one in the timeline so far. So. It would
Yeah.
be nice to just to play the game.
It was, huh? That's crazy. It was the last game in that time. Like, we didn't get any other fresh new Zelda, I mean, fresh new Metroid game after that. Everything else were just remakes.
Yeah.
Right? That's crazy. I didn't notice that.
And it's crazy. Actually, you know what? Speaking of Metroid, I know you mentioned the Star Fox movie or show that you wanted to see, and I mentioned Metroid. So you know what? What will be better?
Crossover.
Yes. Okay, because I don't know. I don't know if
I
you guys who are listening remembers back in the Wii U days, there was a big rumor that there was going to be a Metroid Star Fox crossover game.
What? Really?
Yeah, like
I didn't
there was
know
like a
that.
there was
That'd
a big
be dope.
rumor that there was that there was gonna be one. I don't know if it was supposed to happen or not, but it was like a big thing, like E3 2014, I want to say, or 15, something like that. And yeah, like that would be kind of cool if like they like just combine Star Fox and Metroid into like one series, like an animated series. That would be really funny.
Or like do something where like at the end of like the last episode of one of them, like Star Fox would work. No, it could work both ways. Like they can like say, "Oh wait, there's this disturbance thing or whatever," or like there's a ship coming toward us. Or I would say this for Star Fox, they can say, "There's a ship coming towards us and it's trying to dock," or "There's a ship coming toward us that's trying to communicate with us," and they'd be like, you know, the ship identify whatever, identify yourself, and you'd be like this long pause, and you'd be like, "My name is Samus Aran," and just cut off, and everyone goes crazy. Or like for the Metroid one, she can you know get a disturbance call and go on this weird ship that looks something like, you know, Andross's armor or whatever, and then she sees it kind of like beat up or whatever, and then she hears this noise and she turns around, and then you hear, you know, Fox like, don't shoot, we're da da da, and you see him kind of come out of the shadows or whatever.
Oh man, that will be
you know, and then they can be like, who are you, and it just cut off, and it's like, oh my gosh, like please watch our podcast. Whoever's doing it, gonna do
yes. Like,
we have ideas for reality days.
And just add us on Twitter, and
right.
we would be sure to watch it.
Right.
Oh man, but this has been a really good podcast. It's been really chill.
Yeah, I agree.
I've actually enjoyed it. It was nice to be back after that break. I don't know about you, Kadesia.
Yeah, no, I was really anxious to get back into it. You know, like we said, we had great news to be able to be on a podcast or Apple broadcast. You know, it took us back a little bit, but not enough to where it would slow us down 100%. So I'm glad to be back in the swing of things again. And I honestly can't wait for the next time we record and see what we get for this week.
Yeah, same. Hopefully we get more Animal Crossing.
Yes.
Or maybe Nintendo. You know what? You know, maybe you could give us a Direct. Because
right.
I am really thirsty for a Direct. I need something. I need something.
Oh, man.
But where can people find you?
You guys can find me on YouTube at Kotetsu Tokai. We got some stuff coming on Friday, so I hope you guys check that out whenever we upload this Friday, Friday rolls around. You guys also follow me on Twitter, which is Kotetsu David. You guys can check me out there. I post, try to post there recently as much as I can. And of course, Discord. And I usually give out my Discord server during live streams. So you guys check out the live streams. You guys can be able to get access to my Discord. I'm on there usually. I hang out with you guys. We do Smash sessions and all that stuff, so it's a good time.
Yeah, and then for me, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at JustCliffYT, on YouTube at JustCliff, and then we also have a Discord server where you can submit feedback. You can also stay in tune with updates, and then you can also leave like suggestions for things that we should cover on the podcast. And then last, before we head out, as Kotetsu mentioned earlier, we are now on Apple Podcasts. And if you like this this week's episode, be sure to leave us a review and share the podcast with 5 of your closest friends. Like, we're really trying to build a community of Nintendo fans, and it will be, I would appreciate it a lot if we had more people to share our experiences with.
Exactly. That's the goal.
But, I mean, as always, I'm Cliff, this has been the 1UP Crew, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Goodbye.
You guys take care.